Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing great, Kyle. Hopefully everybody had a Merry Christmas, and hopefully Green Bay can keep it merry stumbling into Minnesota this week.
Yeah, both teams currently with losing records, and it essentially ends up becoming an elimination game. I don't know if whoever loses will be immediately mathematically eliminated, but it makes it, I mean, to be fair, whoever wins this game also isn't guaranteed a playoff spot and isn't necessarily going to be like a super likely favorite to get one either. But so this really does feel at the low end. You lose this game, you're out of the playoffs. So
100%.
This is it. And it's against the Vikings, right? So at the very least, you have the chance to knock them out of the playoffs. So that would be nice to all the Vikings fans who we despise so much. Did say in the last Vikings game that they were the worst fan base in the NFL. Some Cowboys fans did this week might actually have pushed that. So maybe we'll go with the second worst fan base in the NFL in the Vikings. And the Cowboys constantly remind us why they have the worst fans in the
NFL. Hey, they're up there, and you're right. It's playoff football. What better time to go into that dump up in Minnesota and that stupid horn and shut it up for the rest of the year, or at least the rest of the year. I know they have another week, but of football that matters. So huge week, both teams, huge week. Both are very wounded. I'm sure we'll get into all that, but yeah, it's playoff football. Let's go. New Year's Eve.
I say before we even get to that game though, Jesse, I think last week does bear some discussing about, and actually really the big news right now is that Christmas or New Year's matchup, Justin Jefferson was really shut down by Jair Alexander, and the Packers decided to shut down Jair Alexander for this game, potentially the season. We'll see if he returns against the Bears, but the Packers suspended their star cornerback for one game. And I know there's one specific incident that's being talked about, and it happened during the Panthers game, actually at the start of the Panthers game. So might be a way to start the Panthers preview here, or recap I should say, but Jesse, just it reactions to Alexander being suspended by the team.
I think it had to be done. No player is bigger than this football team. I get the frustration. It's been kind of being voiced, you know, with Barry and the defense and how these guys kind of feel. I get it, but you are not bigger than this football team. First of all, I know you're from Charlotte. I live in North Carolina. Maybe you should have went out there and kicked some butt. You actually probably played the worst game I've seen you play all year, or in 2 years. So you're playing the field stunk. So you naming yourself a captain, I think, is pretty childish. Matt LaFleur spoke about it. He said it's not always one thing. I think his comments about the defense this week and how he kind of talked a little trash, I get it, and left it out there that he's not happy with the play calling and said we just got to go through the motions kind of and do what the whatever they call we got to do. I think that was probably more of it. So, yeah, I think they need to control this locker room, hold people accountable. Now, that's a whole nother can of worms. Maybe they should hold Joe Barry accountable, and he probably shouldn't be here. But I'm for the call. It's a team. You guys are all a part of the group. One guy starts getting going rogue, you got to sit him down. So I'm for it. Unfortunately, it's against one of in my opinion, the best receiver in the league. But next man up, and the Vikings are beat up also. So it looks like he's the only receiver they have.
And yet Joe Barry's defense will somehow find a way to have Isaiah McDuffie cover Justin Jefferson. It'll happen. Right.
You know. Preston Smith.
He's actually pretty good in coverage for a linebacker, but yeah, even the pretty good in coverage for cornerbacks usually can't get Justin Jefferson. The trick is without Jair, they actually probably need to like blanket cover him, and he's got to be, which sets up well for the Joe Barry zone defense, right? But you got to just always have two guys in the zone against him, it seems like, and just double cover him. He's not one player is going to be able to cover him. We're talking about that specifically, but to Jair, the one incident that Jesse was referencing is that the three captains, offense, defense, special teams captains, go out for the coin toss and declaring the game situations to begin each half with. And Jair trots out as a fourth player, as you said it, Jesse, a self-named, self-imposed captain. that he claims the players had his backing for, even if the coaches had knew nothing about it and were just as shocked as everyone else was to see it happen. He called the coin toss, even though he was the fourth guy that was just randomly supposed to be out there. He actually called the coin toss. They got whatever it was correct, and he said defense instead of defer. And I've seen games where the refs will punish the players. You say, I remember one time it was a playoff game. It was the Patriots. The Jets ended up beating the Patriots, which was crazy. Rex Ryan, I think. And the Patriots player called the way they wanted to kick first, because typically that, you know, you defer and then you let the other team to say that they want to receive the ball, then you choose which direction. But if you just choose the direction off the bat, that's your declare. So the other team can still have the option of receiving the ball. And so that's kind of what Jair, a little different situation with calling defense instead of calling direction, but essentially that's what he was doing. And he almost gave the Panthers the option to pick, not defer the decision, and the Packers decide coming out of halftime who gets the ball to start, which they would pick themselves, of course, if they didn't decide to possess the ball to start the first quarter. Some teams will do that. Some teams will say they received the football. But Jair just declared neither, which could have given the Panthers the option to start both half with the football. It was a 33-30 game, by the way, so every possession mattered, apparently, which against the worst team in the league, that's another story why it's coming down to literally the final second to win the game. But, you know, that could have been super costly, and it seems like that wasn't the only reason, but that certainly factored in. Now, apparently, the only reason that the refs didn't, you know, call Jair on what he said immediately is because apparently Matt LaFleur has said this has been a problem before, so that he's gone and talked to the refs beforehand, which leads me to wonder, why don't you just do that? Why have players call stuff? Like they don't have enough to worry about, but that's just beyond me. So, yeah, Jair Alexander suspended for a game, but talking on the rest of that Panthers game, any thoughts, Jesse, on the fact that they won, which is good, because you're playing the worst team in the league, but to only beat them by three? I mean, hey, they scored 33 on offense. It's so hard to score 30. Apparently, you can only do it against the worst team in the league and the team that holds their pick and would have the first overall pick, which normally is the sign of a bad team. That's the Packers for you. Go Jordan Love against these really poor defenses.
Well, first of all, we got out with a win, so that's all that matters, because anybody can beat anybody in the league. But yeah, and secondly, really, the Panthers' passing defense is really good. They've only given up one quarterback this year with 300 yards. Now, granted, they're behind every game and teams are running on them, but Jordan Love carried this team to that win. The defense, again, could not stop anything in the second half. They came out great, pressuring. They actually came out in a 4-3 to stop the run, you know, kind of forced them to pass the ball. Looked pretty good. First possession, three and out, then Bonehead running into the kicker, punter. Still got the ball back. First quarter, really, the defense was great. And then what happens? We change everything and go back to the same old Joe Barry special. Now, yeah, players got to get it done also. But, yeah, just ugly, right? What, we're up 17 and let them back 16 and let them back in the game to tie it up. And Jordan Love had to go down the field and essentially, you know, put us in position to win the game. So kudos to Jordan Love making plays and the offense scoring over 30, but yeah, not pretty. So I'm just going to leave it with, we won, erase it, move on to the next game, but very concerning for sure.
The only difference between this and the Giants game is that the Panthers didn't succeed at the end to get their field goal to win it, like the Giants did after again, Jordan Love did what he needed to. Fourth quarter, you're behind. He led a field goal drive to take the lead. Now, a touchdown drive probably gets them the win there. But still, like, it really just came down to more of the Panthers' mistakes than actual Packers doing good defense. Because, yeah, they were atrocious. DJ Chark had the best game of his Panthers career, and this is his first season with the Panthers, to be fair. But Bryce Young probably had the best game of his career, too. That's more the story there. And DJ Chark was amazing. He hasn't done this all year. And, it's how do you let that happen? I was really mad fantasy football wise because I was facing DJ Chark in a league, had Aaron Jones in another league, lost by like a point and a half. You just had to give AJ Dillon that carry, right? Like near the goal line. Like you let Aaron Jones drive down the field. You couldn't just give him the touchdown to cap it off. Thanks, Matt LaFleur.
It wasn't, I mean, one time. Yeah, they did it three times where it's like Jones drove the whole field and then they bring Dillon in. I'm like, dude, feed the guy that got you here. I was in the same boat, Kyle.
Now, I will say, to Matt LaFleur's credit, Dylan did score on one of those after Jones was unable to. But for a lot of their history, it had been the opposite, where Dylan is not succeeding on those goal line opportunities and Aaron Jones is getting them. So kudos to AJ Dylan. He got it done this time. I have to give him credit.
Hey, I won my fantasy by 1 point after being down by 50 going into it was 2 weeks of the playoffs, for the round. I was down 50 and was a 2% chance to win and ended up winning by one. So Aaron Jones, let's go this week.
Yeah, Aaron Jones. He's had good games against Minnesota in the past, that's for sure. He's won and lost fantasy championships against Minnesota. Oh boy. I think it's some very conflicting moments, which I'll be happy to see him score this time, because I don't think I'm facing him anywhere this time around. Hooray for Jordan Love and AJ Dillon vulturing Aaron Jones touchdown, which is fine. That's again, they scored, they got into the end zone. Offensively, there actually is very little complaining to do. So Matt LaFleur again called a great game. Discipline is still kind of an issue this year, more than anything. Too many penalties, especially penalties. Seems like almost immediately too. Like it's always like first quarter penalties. That's been atrocious for them. I'm pretty sure they lead the league in special teams penalties. I wouldn't be shocked if they also lead the league in first quarter penalties. And it seems they've just been setting themselves up not to get good starts, both not scoring necessarily early as much. Again, this game be an exception. They scored 33. So I gotta say the offense did what they needed to. And this is a month of just poor defensive play, which is come at the worst time. This is probably the worst the defense has played all year, is these last three games.
100%. And, the offense has every excuse in the world, too, because look at what we had out there for wide receivers. Bo Melton, went off. Good for him. Hey, young man, way to catch your first pass and then just go on and put a show on. And this offensive line that really kind of struggled in the run game early in the year and was decent in pass pro is really coming along. Rasheed Walker, who was splitting snaps and everything, he's over the last month has been a solid not just, hey, young man, you're playing decent. Like overall, compared to other teams, he's holding his own. He's looking really good. It looks like Sean Ryan is slowly taking over for JRJ. And that's, John Runyon Jr. has been a staple for 3 years in this offense. And it looks like Ryan got more snaps first time. They've been splitting, series and stuff. And now Ryan actually had more than him this week than he has ever. So there might be a change of the guard going forward.
Yeah, that offensive line might be setting up for next year to be, who knows if Josh Myers is still there, but if they choose to just make it Walker and Tom at tackles, Jenkins and Ryan at guard, and really between Zach Tom and Elton Jenkins, you have options at really all three positions, guard, center, tackle, and you can really experiment. I think giving, Jenkins, I mean, he did get hurt this year with the MCL sprain, but not having to come off an ACL tear and really having a full healthy offseason to not be rehabbing, but just to be getting stronger and better. I think we've seen him excel at right tackle. Is he better than Zach Tom at right tackle? Could he even be better than Rasheed Walker at left tackle? Or is he just so good as a guard that he dominates there, you leave him there, and you let these two young tackles go? I think the Packers certainly have options. Those three seem to be parts of the significant future for the Packers offensive line. And if Sean Ryan, still, halfway through his rookie contract, can be a starting guard for them next year, it really does leave them where, okay, they could go and they could try and find an upgraded center to Josh Myers. And if that's not available, I think Josh Myers still maybe has a year left on his rookie contract. You ride him out for another season and you look for that in 2025, potentially. I guess the thing about center is it's not going to be as highly coveted in terms of scarce. Like it won't be not like finding a franchise left tackle, right? Like if they can significantly upgrade at Rasheed Walker, I still think they should do that. If they could truly get a elite top tier all pro level tackle, I think you kind of have to do that. But if that player just, because you don't always get those players in free agency every year, like that comes around once in a while and you've got to capitalize when it happens. The Packers have never made David Bakhtiari available, and suddenly maybe he is the guy that's available for other teams to go get. But if Trent Williams only became available because of really extenuating circumstances with Washington, Andrew Whitworth finally became available because the Bengals thought he was just going to be too old. And he sort of, you know, in his late 30s into his 40s, was still playing elite level left tackle play, which is kind of amazing and not to be expected. But he was only going to ever, he never became available until he was like 37, 38. So, like, franchise left tackle guys don't really become available. So, if there is anyone out there, the Packers, I think, have to do what they can, because you're not going to get that opportunity every year. Which means if that's not there, maybe Rasheed Walker is that answer for the time being, anyway. I mean, he's on a rookie contract up too, I believe. So you just get that cheap left tackle for a few years, allows you to spend elsewhere. Maybe you can really like make this defense top tier. I still think they're a piece or two away. If you can really, and I don't know that you're necessarily drafting elite defenders every year. You might be able to get one this year, but you might want two or three more elite players on this defense, and that's going to require some free agency spending. So that might be the position. As much as it's been the position that's been better this year, Jesse, I do wonder if defense is where they really spend a lot of free agency.
We'll see. I mean, you're starting to get in my wheelhouse. I could talk about it for hours, but I mean, if we're going to spend in free agency, I would say it would be at safety, because I think we just need to really find someone to sit there. I don't see Winfield Jr. getting out of Tampa Bay, but they have not locked anything in with him. That would be my guy. If they let him walk, that's the guy I'm paying. That guy's a hell of a football player, but hey, we'll get there when we get there. Let's win this year and see where we go and get to free agency and the draft, and we'll have all offseason to talk about that fun stuff. But yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. We have options on the offensive line right now, because even Myers over the last month has played some of his best football, you know, after starting out like crap. So it's good to see. It's good to see this young offensive line and this NFL record youngest offense, especially in pass catching, by far, is gelling. There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of good things going on offense.
To be fair, Jesse, right? They may already have all five starting offensive linemen next year under contract, and they don't have to go at all in free agency and spend there. You add a couple depth pieces, but yeah, go spend top dollar on safety, maybe buy another, you know, productive defensive tackle. Yeah, I mean, that might be the spots you spend in a veteran wide receiver. They'll be expensive, of course. Maybe those are the areas you spend the money on, and who knows? We'll see what that future holds. Yeah, I guess we should have talked about this before that break. We didn't really finish the Panthers game. We ran out of time almost, but we won't actually run out of time here. But that's essentially what happened to the Panthers. We talked about it where the Packers didn't really win the game. It seems like the Panthers definitely lost that game. So it's 33-30. The Panthers, now in this case, unlike the Giants game where the you know, 1 minute drive or whatever, 40 second drive to get to field goal range, really just one or two big plays, because that's all the Packers were allowing. In the Giants game, that field goal gave the Giants the win. In this case, this field goal for the Panthers would have tied the game. They had used up their timeouts and they got the ball back, not too much time. It didn't look like it was going to be very easy, or certainly, you know, plausible, say. It's definitely possible, as we showed. But plausible that they were going to get into field goal range. But sure enough, they did. And Packers, the Swiss cheese defense, just let them walk into field goal range. And because they didn't have any timeouts, so they had to go up and clock it. They had to line up quickly, spike the football. And they snapped it, spiked it, and the clock said zero. And it looked like they were literally a second or two away from getting that ball snapped, having a 1 second on the clock to kick the field goal. Game goes to overtime, and who knows what would have happened. But it kind of sucks for the Panthers and from football perspective for it to end that way. But that's the urgency of the situation. The Packers got really fortunate to get out with the win.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to know what would have happened if they tied it up, honestly, because all the momentum would have been the other way. It is what it is. You know, hats off to Carolina. You know, they stayed in the fight when they could have rolled over, because we were up early, you know, after halftime. We went three and out after half. I mean, just, I was dropping one of my kids off somewhere and the second half was just starting up. So I was listening to the Carolina broadcast on the radio before I got in the house, and they were joking. They're like, Carolina can't even get to 20 points. So being down this much right now, it's not going to happen. Like they were literally joking about it. And then all of a sudden it was a three and out. And they're like, well, best case scenario right there. I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, Green Bay just says, hold my beer. We'll let them back in this thing. So, yeah, it was close, not close. Yeah, doesn't matter. Game of inches. And I'm happy we got away and our season's still alive. So, It was a nail biter though.
Yeah, the Panthers had three times scored 20 or more points. They had never gotten to 30. Week three against the Seahawks, they had 27 points. They still lost that game, of course. But for a team that the previous 2 weeks combined, they had 15 points scored. The previous 3 weeks combined, they had gotten to 33. It took them 3 weeks to do it, though, against all three of their division opponents, which is hilarious, the Buccaneers, the Saints, the Falcons. And the Packers just let them season high in basically everything. Season high in points with 30, season high in total yards at 394. They still haven't hit 400 yards, even against the Packers' Swiss cheese defense. Season high in passing yards. Oh, no, never mind. Not season high. That Seahawks game, Bryce Young had still to this day his only career 300-yard game. The Packers didn't quite let him do that, 298, but for all intents and purposes, they almost. So yeah, they won. Now move on because we've spent too much time talking about what should have been a blowout win and which was not at all.
Hey, we're saving it all for this week, right?
Yeah, well, who knows what the Vikings will have? You already talked about injuries. Their quarterback situation has kind of been derailed by the Kirk Cousins injury. They've had three different starting quarterbacks since then. They're kind of rotating through all three of them. Jaren Hall, the rookie, I think he was a sixth rounder. He will get the start against the Packers. It was announced today. So Nick Mullins is the veteran who's was expected to be the main backup for most of the season. Josh Dobbs, the veteran journeyman who started a ton of games for the Cardinals and then won a few games for the Vikings this year. I think he has more wins this year for the Vikings than Kirk Cousins did. So maybe not. I have to go look that up. I don't want to look up Viking stuff. I don't want to care enough. But yeah, Jaren Hall. Not, I mean, he's got the least amount of experience of these three quarterbacks. So from a Packers standpoint, I mean, he's intriguing to a certain extent with his athleticism, his rushing ability. But I mean, the way Josh Dobbs was playing this year, I'd much rather face Jaren Hall than Josh Dobbs. Nick Mullins seems to be, I don't know, he's been every pass he threw last week looked like it was going to get picked off, and then Justin Jefferson really bailed him out on a few, which is what Justin Jefferson does. As you mentioned, Jesse, the best receiver in the NFL. And I wonder if, at the very least, Mullins, as a veteran, knows how to get the ball to Jefferson. This could be a real test. Can Jaren Hall constantly deliver the ball to Justin Jefferson accurately?
We'll
Because
find out. I
Jefferson has
mean,
not yet played with him. He's played with Dobbs and Mullins. And so that could be something that just holds back the Vikings offense entirely. Sean Mannion a couple years ago, right? When Kirk Cousins, I believe he was on the COVID list. Would have been the same thing right around Christmas, New Year's, late season battle, and Packers crushed the Vikings with this. Mannion was a more experienced quarterback than Jaren Hall. There was talk of going with Kellen Mond, potentially the young guy. I think he was a rookie at the time. And Mike Zimmer famously said, "Yeah, I've seen him enough in practice. I don't need to see him on the football field." And Kellen Mond never got a shot. Jaren Hall, he's at least started, did start a game this year and then left with an injury. Believe it was a concussion. That's when Josh Dobbs took over. He believed he won that game, even though he didn't start it. So technically, Jaren Hall would have got the win because he started it. But I believe this will be Jaren Hall's second career start. So I don't know. Of all three quarterbacks, I think from a Packers standpoint, this is probably the quarterback I'd want to see the most.
I don't know. Mullins, as bad as he was last week, I mean, Detroit does not force turnovers, and this dude just said, "Here's the ball every time." But hey, I don't know. New quarterbacks seem to look great against Green Bay, so that's what kind of scares me. We don't know a lot about this guy. This kid has nothing to lose. Unfortunately for the Vikings, it's Justin Jefferson and just dudes. I mean, Hawkinson's not going to be there. Addison's not there. Still got Osborne, who is not, doesn't look like the same guy he was last year for some reason. I don't know what it is, but yeah, stop Jefferson and get some pressure and rattle this kid right away. And I would think we're going to be okay, but I've seen crazier things. So we just got to play complimentary football and do the little things right. I think Jefferson's still going to get his, right? You're not going to completely shut him out like we did last year. That was a fluke. He's going to get his, but just limit it. Just limit it. Make other guys have to make plays, which I really kind of trust some of these guys in our secondary, that can step up and do the thing, right? So we'll see. We'll see.
I don't know if that was a fluke. I don't know if it's also replicable. What happened was, I think it was pretty clear. Jair had probably the best game of his career. Let's
Oh
be real. That was like the toughest assignment he could possibly have, likely in his career, because before Jefferson was the best receiver, I think it was Devontae Adams when Jair was in the league. That was it, maybe DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if Jair ever covered DeAndre Hopkins though. So the toughest assignment he's probably ever going to have to face in his career, and as long as Jair doesn't like demand a trade after all this stuff, likely is going to be a matchup. I mean, who knows? Jefferson's still not under contract either, but I'd imagine this is a matchup that he's going to have several times in his career. But it took Jair playing the best game of his career. It really, I felt like on that game, he kind of earned that all-pro season that year. If without that game, the voters might have gone elsewhere there. So that's really what it took last year. And you're not getting that because Jair's not playing. And as good as Valentine or even Keyshawn Nixon could be, I don't think they have that type of performance in their ceiling outcomes being arguably the best quarterback in the league. That's pushing that a little bit. So I agree. I don't think you're going to be able to shut Jefferson down. Again, I think that the best hope to shutting Jefferson down is, like you said, pressure, get after the quarterback. Don't even let him get the ball to Jefferson.
And I think the big thing, Stokes coming back last week was rusty, but he's got a little bit of size. Man up on Jefferson and just try to jam him on the line and bracket him. Just have someone
Yes.
over the top, and then hopefully we get a little bit of pressure. And if they throw it up that way, you're going to get an opportunity at an interception. So just get physical with them. I don't care if they call a penalty or two because you're physical after 5 yards down the field. Just get physical with them on the line of scrimmage.
He has been beat up this year. He's been injured, of course, the hamstring injury.
Right.
Then there was the back or rib injury that he suffered a couple weeks ago against the Raiders in his return game. So he has not had a healthy season. So remind him of the pain of football for sure. And I think with Stokes, he's the kind of guy, because of his speed and because of his injuries, maybe he's not at his fastest right now, but because of his catch-up speed, if you get burned and you don't hit him off the line of scrimmage and he's wide open, he can at least maybe catch up close enough to influence that. It's probably likely not. Like, you can't completely miss him, but even if you don't get the press coverage technique completely, and even if you just slow him up a fraction and he gets open off you, Stokes does have that catching speed where he can recover off those mistakes. So I actually really like your strategy, Jesse. I exclaimed out so much, interrupted you almost because I was so excited about, yeah,
Oh,
you're right. That is smart. Yeah, just have Stokes press him as much as possible and someone else over the top. That actually makes a lot of sense. Which means Joe Barry's probably not going to do.
yeah, we're gonna play that 10 yards off and just let him eat you up underneath, right? But
Oh, Isaiah
and I
McDuffie will cover him. He'll be fine.
right. And I think this is just kind of the game. Make it who's gonna be the more physical team? Just like when we played Detroit the first time and just got beat up. They came out, they threw the first punch and they kept throwing. Second game against Detroit, we did the exact opposite. We were the more physical team. We punched them in the mouth. Hey, we got beat up by Minnesota the first time we played them also. So let's turn that around and be physical and push them around a little bit and see how they react. And I think that's to our advantage, 100%. Instead of so worried about giving up the big play, hey, give up a big play once in a while if you start taking away all the little stuff underneath that's been killing us. So go be aggressive.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, both teams really are beat up, and a lot of players, very few, if any, players on either team are actually at 100%. But
Right.
both of these teams, there's are significant injuries, like you mentioned. TJ Hawkinson tore his ACL and MCL apparently, so he's out for the year. And honestly,
Terrible.
it puts a lot of next year in doubt too, because of how late this injury was. So that's a huge blow to the Vikings' multiple seasons. So, I don't feel for Vikings fans, so I feel for Hawkinson, but
Yeah, big time. Yeah, great player. Plays hard, plays the position correct. And you're right, this late in the year, that's gonna hurt him next year, big time. But yeah, it's that's part of the game, and hopefully he can get healthy again and get back to his level of play. Because I loved him coming out of Iowa, tough dude. Reminds me of George Kittle, and he was just getting better each week, I think, also.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see what next year holds for him. I have a feeling I'll talk about that probably pretty soon on the Full Press Fantasy Pod on the fantasy implications and what I'm looking to do with Hawkinson, depending on the format. Jordan Addison suffered an ankle injury, so we'll see if he plays. I guess we can get right to the injury report. He didn't practice Wednesday, but limited Thursday. So I think there is a shot Jordan Addison plays. He's clearly not going to be 100%. But even a less than 100% Addison with how good he's been this year is still like you said, it's Jefferson and everyone else, and Osborne hasn't quite been as good as last year. Even if Addison is limited in his play, he's still going to be the second best receiver, so that's still going to be a threat if he's out there. So we'll see what his availability is like and how that influences the Packers' decision to go with coverages. Maybe if Addison's out, maybe Joe Barry does get more aggressive with Stokes and just put him on Jefferson. If you can kind of, if Stokes can cover Jefferson or Addison for most of the game, then it maybe makes more sense to go with zone and you don't mind him not shadowing Jefferson because Addison can be just as big a threat too.
Yeah, and with that angle, I know at Green Bay they put in, their designations. It was just walkthrough. So it's like, yeah, just walkthrough. So this guy would have been limited. So I don't know how the Vikings did it, but just listening to a few of the Vikings talking heads, they don't expect him to play. So if he does play, like you're saying, I don't expect 100%. Get physical with him too. I mean, if he what makes him good is his quick, short area quickness where he can get open quick. And with that ankle, it's going to be hard for him. So get tough on these guys. I mean, hey, it's football. If someone's beat up, you take advantage of it, right? But yeah, if he's out there, he's definitely a threat because that kid's been having a great rookie season.
So, do you know if the Thursday was also a walkthrough estimation type of practice?
For Green Bay, it was. I'm not sure about Minnesota. Yeah.
Are they, and I guess, are they planning to do that also Friday? Do you know?
I think so. I think they're just taking it easy and trying to get back whoever they can get back, and we'll see
Because,
how it goes.
well, even though there were walkthroughs, there were still four players who didn't practice through the walkthroughs. So, like, that
Right.
tells you kind of what state they're in. I wouldn't really expect any of them to play, all four of those players. Now we've known one is Christian Watson. I kind of earlier when he got injured, I sort of targeted this as the potential week for his return. If he still hasn't practicing through walkthroughs,
He's not
my
playing.
initial estimation of he might not play again for the year, it kind of seems like that might come true. And if they could get to
Good.
the playoffs, that's probably his first game back is wild card weekend. But that's still a big if, even if they do win these two games. They're not, I guess that's the one news about the Packers we didn't mention. Like they're at a point now that the losses they shouldn't have had, I'm thinking of the Giants game and the Raiders game is probably two, where they really should have won those games, has put them in a spot where they actually don't control their own destiny. They could win out and still miss the playoffs at this point. So it's imagine losing to the Panthers, how much more in the hole they would have been. But it's like it's at desperate times and their whole full elf effort winning both these games against the Vikings and Bears, that still might not be enough for the Packers.
Yeah, and the odds are good. If they win both, I mean, it's pretty likely. I think it's in the 80 percentile to get in. But you're right, dropping games that you should win, especially at home. Buccaneers, oh my God, I don't want to talk about that one either. You put yourself in the situation where you're counting on other teams. But all you can do now is just win and hope for the best.
The Buccaneers, they could have won that game, but this is also a team that themselves look like they're going to make the playoffs. They're currently the division leaders in the NFC South, as we can criticize it being the worst division in football, but they are the division leaders there. They're a playoff team, and that win against the Packers might be the reason they make the playoffs. But I would still say at the very least, like that's an opponent you understand them losing to. The Raiders. How bad they've been. The Giants with their third string quarterback, how bad they've been. Those are the two games that they really should not have.
Yeah, just Baker Mayfield having a perfect QB rating never happened in Lambeau. I still can't stomach that. That makes me sick.
To be fair, this is probably the best Baker Mayfield has ever played is this season.
maybe, but
And the
I mean, that's
Packers
not
game
better.
is one of maybe the best game of him for the season, but he's done really well this year.
Well, he has, but if no QB in the history of Lambeau has ever done it, Baker Mayfield has done it either. Thanks, Joe Barry.
No opposing quarterback or no quarterback ever.
Ever in
Really?
Lambeau.
Rodgers has never done it.
Not a perfect QB rating. So,
I'll be honest, Rodgers has had better games than Baker, though. So we can talk about QB rating and put that in the
yeah.
end, but it's meaningless.
It's a
But
skewed stat. Don't get me wrong. It's a skewed stat. But,
they didn't for one of the things that really does push that though is the like number of incompletions, and
right.
they allowed him to complete over almost every pass.
Exactly. And that's just it. It just, yeah. Anyways, let's move forward. But yeah, he has been playing his best football by far.
But yeah, all to say, the initial point I was trying to bring up, Christian Watson, unlikely to play. Dontavian Wicks, chest and ankle injuries caused him to leave last game after he scored the touchdown. I would also, because he was even questionable with the, I think the ankle injury coming in, and it wasn't even for sure that he was going to play, a true game time decision on Sunday. And then he now also has this injury. So dealing with both, I would say it's more likely that Wicks misses. Now, the good news, though, might be Jaden Reed's return. Again, estimation. So this isn't like it's a good sign, but it's also not a great sign necessarily. But he was limited both days this week in practice, Jaden Reed, after not practicing at all last week. So I think that does set up Reed to have a chance to play. I would say at this point, because he's a week removed from the injury, whereas Addison just happened, both of those receivers, I would say those rookies, I think it's more likely Reed ends up playing than Addison. They could have a chance to have both, to be honest, and or could also just as easily have a chance to have neither. But I would, if I had to guess right now, I'm probably 55-45 in the positive side in favor of saying Reed is going to play, but it's still probably going to be a true game time decision for Jaden Reed. And Addison.
As tough as he is, they're going to have to – I love that kid, man. They're going to have to – if he thinks he can go, they're going to have to fight him to stay off the field. So I'm with you. It's 50-50.
They're going to have to hurt him worse.
Right.
No, they should never do that. That's a bad joke. But that's what it'll take. Like, I'm going to bust your kneecap. Now you really can't play there. Stay. Got to keep you healthy. Oh, wait. That's not – that would be a Joe Barry backwards type of idea. But, yeah.
Right.
Luckily, he doesn't control the offense.
But yeah, I think it's playoff football. So if you can go, even if it's on a snap count, let's go. The great thing about it is Aaron Jones is fresh, and the way he ran the football last week, hopefully, he's got his lungs back. Because frankly, I would have given the ball every freaking time last week. He was so good. So on turf, hopefully, he can loosen that defense up. And then, hey, for some reason, put anybody in there and. Tucker Kraft's looking good. Luke Musgrave came back to practice. I would love to see those two on the field right now together.
True, yeah. And completing the pass catching core, does Musgrave return? He was limited both weeks, has officially been activated off the IR. So I guess there's a shot that Musgrave is back, and suddenly we see what between him and Kraft, what that looks like together now that, because when they were using Musgrave earlier, it seemed like they were bringing Kraft along slowly. Now it might also be that once Musgrave is back, they just Kraft becomes kind of an afterthought in the offense. But if Musgrave's not, like, he's still not a fully all the way back, I do wonder if, like, that's something that potentially they limit his snaps anyway, and they still go with Kraft because he's the healthier guy. But
and Kraft's a baller. I mean that guy plays hard, so I think you try to use them both. But yeah, to your point,
now that Kraft's been part of the offense and he proved he can do that, you don't just put him back in the back in the background, and like you still maintain that role and you hopefully to augment the role with having both of them.
Oh yeah, go to tight end sets, especially if we can't get Reed out there. Yeah, go 12 with Jones in the backfield and these two guys on the field, and just get dirty, just get tough up front and make him stop Aaron Jones, which, like, last week, those first drives, what was he averaging, like 8 yards a carry? I mean, it looked like Madden football all over again. It was great.
Now, to be fair, and you mentioned it earlier, right, like how good the Panthers' pass defense is, but a lot of it has been teams are running on them so much. I don't know if it's just score. It does legit look like the Panthers' run defense is one of the worst units in the league. Like, they are really bad. So but it's great. Like, this is exactly what Aaron Jones should have done, is completely dominate such a poor run defense.
Right. And when I look at it, listen, I think Derek Brown is a top five easy defensive tackle in the league in our interior, which we were worried about. And the weakness of our O-line has been the run blocking, and they were moving him. They can move anybody on the Vikings line. I mean, they don't have a Derek Brown in the middle to do what Derek Brown can do. Now they have pass rushers. But there's nobody inside that's like Derek Brown. So just go up the middle, be mean on them, start using, the play action. And just what I say every week, win in the trenches and good things happen.
Yeah, I mean, and Elton Jenkins, of course, always going to be key blocking. Now, he didn't practice Wednesday, get it, these walkthroughs, but limited Thursday. I have noticed that pattern, though. Like, they're giving Jenkins, like, usually a day off every week, like the veterans rest day, and knowing that, like, again, that MCL sprain that happened earlier in the year, he's probably still not going to be 100% from that probably the rest of the season. Good enough to play great as well at times. So
No concern there. No
yeah,
concern.
I'm pretty sure Jenkins is playing and it's going to be no problem, even with the did not
Yeah, it's
practice
been
Wednesday.
what, yeah, like the last 4 or 5 Wednesdays now, where it's just, hey man, you're good. We'll let someone else eat some reps and, learn some stuff and walk through. But yeah, there's no concern with Jenkins. That dude's nails also. So, yeah, it's playoff football, man. I know it's a couple weeks early. I wish it was, hey, we got the number one seed wrapped up, but it is what it is. And unfortunately, we're getting to the end of the season, but it's playoff football. It's got that atmosphere. Even LaFleur talking about it, he's like, the guys know what's at stake. And as a young team, let's go. That second Viking game last year around Christmas, same time as this year, when it went in there and kicked their butt, it'd be a good week for Nixon to bust one off like he did last year.
True, in the return game, yeah, still not has that had that return touchdown this year after having several last season. So he's come close at times too. So he is capable of still, even without the touchdowns, breaking off big returns as he's shown through the year. Now the defense is gonna have to do this slightly shorthanded, it looks like. They've been that case all year. It almost seems like Quay Walker and Devondre Campbell are alternating games, which games they're playing, which games are not, for like the last month and a half, it seems. Now it's back to Quay Walker coming in and Devondre Campbell. Has not practiced yet this week with the neck injury, so I would lean towards to say he doesn't play, and then that's why I've been talking so much about Isaiah McDuffie covering Justin Jefferson, which might be the case. It looks like, I mean, he's started, I think, almost a month straight now because he's one of the two between Walker and Campbell has been hurt. Walker's been limited this week with the shoulder injury, so it does look like he's on track to play.
I like McDuffie. I think he starts next year. I really do. Campbell just looks old and slow. Hasn't looked good all year. Now I know he's injured, and I get it. And I got his frustration too when he said some things last week. I felt for the guy because I think he lays it out there also. But he just has not been the same guy as he was 2 years ago. Which, hey, all pro season, that's hard to do. But I think we look faster and better with McDuffie out there. McDuffie finds the football, man. I like that kid. He's tough. A little on the smaller side, but I think with him and Quay and how they can fly around, it works. It just gets us a little thin inside, but I think it works.
It's almost 21st century linebackers, right? You
Oh
want
yeah.
them to be sideline to sideline speed tacklers. They might be slightly smaller than what we're used to seeing in, the 90s inside linebackers, let's say.
Oh yeah. Well,
There's
and
no
even
Ray
last
Lewis
week.
here. That's there's probably there, I don't think there's a truly a Ray Lewis in the league right now.
No, totally different football. But even last week, what did I say? They went to a 3-4, and then Quay Walker blitzing off the edge has the first sack of the game. I'm like, wow, that's a way to use that guy in his length and speed, because no one saw that coming, right? And then, of course, yeah, it went totally away from it. But I could see some stuff like that again this week, where you're getting good down and distance, have McDuffie kind of play in the middle and have Quay kind of sneak to the outside and bring pressure, do some stunts, do something different, throw it. You have a young quarterback that hasn't seen a lot. Throw the kitchen sink at him. Just bring stuff, make him have to make plays, and maybe force a few turnovers. It'd be a good week just to be a good week to go by 20 in the first half. So maybe 16 wasn't enough last week. Maybe 20 would be. I don't know. But start fast and keep the pedal on to the metal, basically.
I mean, I think overall the Vikings defense is better than the
It
Panthers
is.
defense. Although you did mention like some specific areas inside defensive line, for instance, where the Panthers could be viewed as better. But yeah, I think overall, I think this Vikings unit is a little bit better. So they also, I don't think the defense could just lay down and allow 30 again and just expect to win either.
Oh, big time. I respect Danielle Hunter. We've been together almost 4 years, Kyle. And when that guy's healthy, I put him up there with as a pure pass rusher. I wanted him so bad out of LSU because that dude can get after quarterbacks. And when he's healthy, he's a problem. Zach Tom's really good, but it's going to be a challenge. He is just a sleek. Sleek's a good word for him because he's not necessarily all power, but he's a way better than Brian Burns, I think. So that's going to be the problem right there. Just stopping that guy and not letting him get ahead of steam.
Yeah, for sure. And we've talked about him before in the past, but I will reiterate that the last time the Vikings won a playoff game, he was arguably their best player in that game.
Oh yeah.
Cousins had, I mean, the best playoff game he's had in his career, but certainly one of the better games of his career. Adam Thielen was incredible, but through and through that game in New Orleans, Danielle Hunter was probably the Vikings' best player.
Yeah, that dude's an animal. He's good. So, he just you got to win at the line if you got to help chip him a little bit. And that's a good thing where if we get both of these young tight ends back and you can do a chip and do a play action off of it, I think we have a lot of opportunities. So, hey, Matt LaFleur's game plans the last couple of weeks have been really nice. So, I have no issue there. It's the defense.
Well, just
And
back to the defense real quick. Devontae Wyatt might get a huge opportunity for tons of snaps in this game because TJ Slayton might not play. Did not practice Thursday in that walkthrough. Limited Wednesday, and then the downgrade is usually bad. I think he was already dealing with a knee injury, but now also might have suffered a foot injury in walkthrough, or he's kind of been dealing with both right now. But listed with both injuries, and the did not practice Thursday. So that was, again, I mentioned four players who didn't practice in that walkthrough, weren't healthy enough to join the walkthrough between Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks, Devondre Campbell, and now TJ Slayton. I would imagine all four don't play.
And that sucks because Slayton's been playing pretty good against the run the last couple of weeks. Wyatt's such boom or bust. When he looks good, he looks great. When he doesn't, he looks terrible. So hey, Carl Brooks, who's been very nice, I think he might get a chance also. So yeah, some other guys are gonna have to step up this week.
All right, now looking at the Vikings injury report, we already talked about probably the most notable name on that injury report in Jordan Addison. And again, between him and Jaden Reed, the two rookie wide receivers, we'll see which one of them is active. If both are, I would probably say I'm maybe about 50-50 on both playing, maybe even slightly favor that for Reed. But like both combined, I'm probably less than 50-50. I would imagine one of them will miss, and if I had to pick what it'd be Addison. I don't know if that's wishful thinking, just get the Packers guy healthy, not the Vikings guy, but I think there's a chance both play. Now, notable injuries, I think, or notable players on the injury report. Harrison Phillips, at defensive tackle for the Vikings, has been probably, their version of Derrick Brown, but as you mentioned, not as good as Derrick Brown. Now, he was a full participant Thursday with his back injury. So I imagine he's listed there. It's going to be something he's maybe dealing with, but probably not too serious. He's going to play, it looks like. So at least they'll have most of their defensive line intact. Sheldon Day limited both days with an ankle injury. And then Jacqueline Roy, I'll go with that because it almost looks like it should be said like French-wise. But Jacqueline Roy, ankle injury. Didn't practice both days, so he might actually miss. And I think Harrison Phillips, I think, is the best of those three. So it looks like he is the healthiest. So that's still something there intact for the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, big depth matters,
Jenkins can
right?
still get the wins though, like on the offensive line.
Oh yeah. I put up Jenkins against anybody, and I feel pretty good about it. So even if and that's not knocking any of these players for sure. I just Jenkins
That's
is
just
the
how
man.
good Jenkins is. Like, he
Exactly.
truly is
Yeah.
one of the best guards in the NFL.
100%. And still doesn't get the credit that he deserves at all.
Yeah. Let's give Quentin Nelson another all-pro season, even if he probably doesn't deserve it.
Every time, no matter what he does, he gets it.
Yeah. And I know offensive line is tough to judge. So as soon as you have that reputation, everyone thinks you're always just really good. I would say Zach Martin doesn't seem like it's reputation. Like, he legit is the best guard every year and probably should be another all-pro guard season this year. Like, that's a guy that you almost pencil in for the all-pro list every year, and it's usually well deserved. Like, as good
Oh,
as
yeah.
Jenkins is, I would still say Zach Martin's probably the best guard, but Jenkins isn't that far away from Martin.
I'm with you. Martin's just, he's done it so long. Yeah, just even at his age, I think he's already in his 30s. Like, man, out of Wisconsin, just a typical grinder. And yeah, but like you
And
said,
they
it's
almost drafted Johnny Manziel. Wow. Hey, kudos to Jerry. I almost said Jerry Rice. Jerry Jones, because he's talked about he wanted Johnny Manziel, but even though he's the owner, GM, he has full authority. He can do whatever he wants. He still listened to his people and took the now all pro, all decade guard, which has turned out to be a great decision. So while Jones does get a lot of criticism, I will say, like, he knows that even though he could do whatever he wanted, he'll still listen to his scouts and his people and make informed decisions, even if it goes against what he wants. So I'll give him credit for not always making the emotional decision and making the smart decision.
I'm with you. He
That's the
knows how
only
to
credit we'll
build.
give to the Cowboys, though. Their fans are awful.
Yeah, right. You're 100% right.
Now, I guess probably so. Jordan Addison's the biggest name on the injury report, I would say. The other really big name, though, Byron Murphy at cornerback. So that could open things up for if Reed plays, or certainly Romeo Doubs. And looking at the goal line guide, an article I do every week at fullpresscoverage.com, it has just been released before we recorded this episode. We are recording this on Wednesday, or no, Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. Geez, what day of the week is it? Thursday, December 28th. And so looking at the article and looking at the goal line guide, which is divided into grades for the rushing and passing offenses, which takes into account their own efficiency, but also the defensive efficiency they're facing. Anyway, the Packers themselves have been better. And again, this is goal line, so everything is inside the five, but inside the opponent's 5 yard line, they've had a 54% touchdown rate on pass attempts, only 28% on rush attempts. The Vikings defense, 40% through on the ground, 50% through the air in terms of touchdowns allowed. So slightly better run defense than pass defense inside the five. But the Packers have been significantly better throwing inside the five. And this seems like another week. You mentioned earlier, Jordan Love probably has to go and win this game. He's the better quarterback in this game. Go prove it. I think even near the 5 yard line, even though you may not be as worried to run against them, I do think, I wonder if they still employ maybe more of a pass heavy approach near the 5 yard line. They're not running up the middle with AJ Dillon. They're actually letting this go through the hands of Jordan Love. Like, if he's make him prove it, right? If they're going to go out and win playoff games, if they make the playoffs, Jordan Love's probably going to have to go be the guy that goes and wins it. So it's one of those where if you're going to go win these games, you may as well set Jordan Love up the best possible, give him as many opportunities as possible. So that's one thing I'll say. The Packers maybe should employ a pass-heavy approach near the goal line. And if the Vikings are without one of their best corners like Byron Murphy, yes, the pass rush could still be a problem, but I think that coverage aspect might actually favor the Packers in that regard. And so, which will really push having that pass-heavy approach in the red zone.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, Packers are like what? I think when you those stats you just said, we were like 30th in the league in running inside the five. Yeah, Jordan Love, like Matt LaFleur said today, on things that he was losing or not losing, but being unsuccessful earlier in the year, now the same plays he's winning on. So he's getting better, which is good. We're getting guys back. Aaron Jones, who is fresh and looking healthy, which is good. So that gives you an option. Like you're saying, you could pass it. Well, now you got Aaron Jones, who's traditionally been really good at the goal line. You could start using him a little bit. And now if you get your two tight ends back, you can go heavy set and do anything out of it. So I think the best thing is to be unpredictable and you have three options. But yeah, long term, you go through the legs and arm. I really liked that they actually did a QB sneak last week. Why
Yeah,
not?
no, for sure. As much, no, I mean, I didn't because I wanted Aaron Jones to get the touchdown. That would have been nice, but
Right.
yeah, you're right. It strategically it made sense. Good kudos to LaFleur, even if it made me angry.
Right. But that's a good thing. It's all about winning, no matter how it looks or whatever we can do. But if we can get the defense and we see, some kind of advantage that we can take advantage of, do it. So whether it's run, pass, through the air, punt, kick, whatever we got to do, win, just win.
Well, and to your point about being unpredictable, I remember a couple of years ago, Matt LaFleur had a play call near the goal line. It was probably, I think it was inside the five or close to that anyway. And it was three tight ends and two running backs. And this was Jamal Williams still on the team. And it was a passing play. They threw out of that formation, which normally would say, oh, you're using Jamal Williams as a fullback for an Aaron Jones run, which is why you have three tight ends they're blocking. And so I think it set up a more run favored defense, and then they exploited that by passing out of that formation. So to
And it
that
was a triple.
point, it worked, and they scored a touchdown. It was a great catch in the end zone by Jamal Williams for those that remember that play. But
Right.
yeah, and it'll be different personnel. I mean, Aaron Jones will still be there; it'll be the only one. But that three tight end set, I think it would have been Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, and maybe DeGuara is the third guy. Maybe it was Jimmy Graham still. I don't remember. Actually, for some reason, I think it was Jimmy Graham. But anyway, maybe you do that. You mentioned the 12 personnel and having two tight ends with Musgrave and Kraft. Throw DeGuara out there too. He could, as
Yeah.
much as he's a good blocker, probably better blocker than route runner and catcher, He could still catch the ball and he can still be a receiving threat. So may as well,
Yeah, go
you know,
22.
you want to play three tight end sets as a way to mitigate the wide receiver injuries. Teams will expect you to run out of that, and you can actually set up favorable pass situations out of that formation.
And watch Matt LaFleur go five wide and figure something out, and it'll work. So, and that's what I like about this offense, where it's all about what he's always talked about, creating a basketball team where you got guys that can do all different stuff. And I think he has that, especially with these two young tight ends. It might not be this year, it might not be next year, but I think long term, he's building this offense to what his is. And it's not just, it gets old, but you know, Aaron Rodgers was here, so you just kind of did what worked because you had Aaron Rodgers. Well, now Matt LaFleur.
Well, to be fair, Rodgers could make most things work, so like, it might even almost matter.
Right. So this is just the beginning, I think, of what Matt LaFleur wants to do, because I think Jordan Love's on board. You know, and he can just kind of build his system where whatever you send out there, we can switch into something that'll beat it. And you're seeing it. This young team, no matter what metric you look at, is a top 10 offense in this league. And we're playing with guys outside of a few that didn't catch passes until this season. So it's fun, man. It's really exciting, whether it's inside the goal line or if we're inside our own 10. They're scheming up stuff that's working.
And just back to the goal line talk offensively. Yeah, so I tracked all the data for all the teams, and I have the Packers with 18 carries inside opponent's 5 yard line, 5 touchdowns. So a 28% is that I have that as the fifth lowest in the league.
Okay.
The only teams lower are the Panthers at 25%. The Cowboys at 24%. Okay. We're not done talking about the Cowboys. The Texans at 22% and the Vikings, a league low 21%. So that's also a point where, like, inside the five defensively, like, really set the defense up to stop the pass, because the Vikings have done that so much better. The Vikings have 10 passing touchdowns inside the five this year. That is tied for the second most in the league. That's tied alongside the Buccaneers. Did face the Packers, probably not coincidentally. The Dolphins also have 10. So those three teams are tied for second. You know, as much as everyone wants to talk about the demise of Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs are still first. 13 passing touchdowns inside the five. So they've actually been really efficient passing from there. So you could maybe afford to be more pass heavy in near the red zone defensively just to stop the Vikings from throwing. Again, maybe that's heavy pressure to really confuse the young quarterback and Jaren Hall.
Yeah.
I will say the Vikings have 3 rushing touchdowns inside the five all season. Pretty sure one of those was against the Packers, to be fair. So they can't totally sell out. I mean, that's kind of what Joe Barry does anyway. Forget the run, to sell out against the pass. They can't totally ignore that too, because pretty sure the Vikings were at 0 before they played the Packers. So that's unfortunate.
That's crazy. Well, and that goes to show the Vikings, you know, a team that's traditionally strong running the ball, has struggled. They're even struggling who's going to start or who's going to get carries. And, you know, one way you stop them, don't let them in the red zone. We'll keep them out of the end zone if you don't let them in the red zone. So,
well, yeah, and we won't keep you here any longer. This was the Vikings Week 17 preview for the Green Bay Packers, that game upcoming. Thank you to everyone who's listened. You can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. We'll tweet out about every episode, some other Packers things from that account. You can also follow your co-hosts individually. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. Also want to shout out PA the Second on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song Bad Boy Outside as our intro and outro music. So appreciate PA for that. Appreciate you, Jesse. I guess this will be our last episode of 2023. Of course, we'll be back next week to cover the Bears game as well. So we're not stopping, certainly. But yeah, not necessarily the end of the season, end of the year, though. I think successful 2023, especially in the offseason. We maybe weren't as, not the typical every 2 weeks. We were more monthly this year. Maybe try to wreck that this year. But certainly appreciate everyone who's listened all year. Appreciate having you on all season and all year as well, Jess.
Hey, same to you, Kyle. It's been a good time. Great 23. Let's ring in 24 with a Green Bay Packer win. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, depending on where you are, that'll be happening probably right around midnight. That's Sunday night football game. So Jesse said it. We'll have to cheer it strong. They won't really hear us in the dome, in the Vikings. We'll have that scoop the horn there. We hope to keep silent. They never get a single first down. Can't use it at all. That would be great. We'll talk with the Bears on the next time. The Full Press Packers Bar.